You'll find in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 15, the Bible said in verse number 11, and he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. He divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey to a far country. There wasted his substance with riotous living, or loose living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. He began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. He would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I'll rise and go to my father, and I'll say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. You may be seated this morning. And I want to preach on the lost son in the hog pen. I want you to notice, first of all, you'll find in verse number 12, you'll find Hoggy's portion. There you'll find that he divided it up. This was a young man that was very hoggy, I find. Because the Bible said, the younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided unto them his living. Oh, Hoggy's portion. You know, we're a lot like this young man. We become real hoggy, thinking that somebody owes us something. You'll find out here that he divided it up. Notice he did not say, Father, give me wisdom. You see, he wanted the father's presence, not his presence. Oh, that's a lot like me and you this morning. We say, as we begin to pray, I say, now God, I want to tell you how to handle this situation. Lord, you owe me something. What the younger son said, give me what's mine that falls to me. Boy, we live in a society that has this mindset that somebody owes them something. But I want to remind you this morning that God doesn't owe you nothing. By His grace, we're saved. I remind you, when you woke up this morning and breathed that first breath of air, you borrowed it. This air ain't yours or mine to breathe. It's His air. That sunshine that's so beautiful this morning, when we walk down the porch steps to go to our car, I remind you that ain't your sunshine, ain't my sunshine. It's His sunshine. And it's just borrowed. But here you'll see that He divided it up. It would have been wonderful if He had said, Father, give me wisdom. I'm getting a little older and I feel like that I may need to spread my wings a little and go out and make a living for my own, and could you keep my inheritance till I get old enough to know how to use it? Father, could you let me just borrow a little bit of money to get set up in my new housekeeping? But Father, most of all, I wish you would give me some good wisdom. Give me some good practice of some things that I need to practice and start now. But now, Haggai's portion, he divided it up. Then secondly, not only do you find in this story was it divided up, but you'll find in verse 13 it was gathered up. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. Now, he didn't leave just soon as daddy gave him what he thought was his. He hung around a little while. And the Bible said not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. Not only do you find here in the story he divided it up, but he gathered it up. I could just see him in his room cleaning out stuff. Well, I'll need this, and I'll need this, and boy, these are nice, I'll take these, and there's a Bible, won't be needing it, and over there's where daddy used to get down by my bed and pray with me. I won't be needing that no more. I got it made. I don't need none of that stuff that daddy tried to teach me and tell me what would see me through life, but I think he doesn't give me what's mine. I'm just gonna spread my wings, and I'm just gonna do it on my own. So he gathered it all up. Boy, I can relate to that story. I remember in 1979, I was 18 and stupid. My daddy told me, he said, "You know, you're gonna see the real world one of these days. You're going to find out what all I've been doing for you." I came over Mount Eagle Mountain in a borrowed pickup truck. It wasn't even mine. Brother Ray, everything I had was in the back of that pickup truck, headed to Bowden, Georgia, for the love of my life. And I tell you, she's still that this morning. But I found out that daddy had a whole lot more sense when I got on this side of the mountain than the other side. I come to find out that it was a real world, that things was real that he'd been telling me about. But I gathered all together and I headed out from home. You see, he divided it up. He gathered it up. Then verse 13, he lived it up. You'll see the Bible says, not many days after the younger son gathered all together, took his journey to a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. That word righteous means loose living. Oh, he lived it up. He was living high on the hog. I used to go out and not think about the repercussions. He lived it up. You know, people last night that closed the beer joints down thought they was a living her up. This morning they woke up not knowing how they got to some places, not remembering last night. Boy, he lived it up. I could just see, boy, as long as he had a little money, he was living high on the hog. Young couples, I tell you this morning, be careful not to set Joneses in your sight. Them Jones crowd will get you in trouble. Make you pull out a credit card and buy stuff you don't have. Make you do things you'll regret tomorrow. Amen, older folks. So we see he lived it up. Boy, he was living today like there was no tomorrow. He said, "Now I've got everything I need. Spread my wings. I ain't worried about all that church stuff daddy taught me. I got tired of all that praying, all that crying, singing, and shouting. Boy, I'm free as a bird. I'm going to live it up. Sunday morning ain't going to set my clock." Said, "You know, I went nearly all my childhood days to church. I'm going to get away from daddy's house. I ain't even going to go to church Sunday."
Wednesday night, I'm going to go out to the movie theater. I'm tired of Wednesday night service. Why, Sunday night, I ain't about to go back. Said, I'm going to kick up my feet and cut on the remote and watch that one-eyed devil. Oh, yeah, he's a living it up. And I see probably stopped by and got some of the devil's potion with him. So probably stopped and got him a six-pack. Said that won't be enough. Said, where I'm headed, I need a case. He probably stopped by on the corner and got him a rock of crack that he could smoke. And probably stopped by the other junkie's house and got him a little weed that he could take on his trip. Because he was living high on the hog. He was living her up. What he didn't know, he was going to the hog pen in a hurry. You see, Hoggy's portion, he got just what he wanted. You'll find that it was divided up. He gathered it up. He lived it up. But then in verse 14, I want to imagine, he spit it up. The Bible said when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. He spent it up. You see, he found out that what he had wouldn't last very long. Spent it up. Your happiness in a bottle, what happens when your bottle runs out? Your happiness in your checkbook this morning? What happens when your checkbook runs out? Your happiness in a job this morning? What happens when the job runs out? Let me put it back down on your level this morning. Your happiness in that child? Be careful. That child may not last that. Oh, we see Hoggy's portion. He had everything that he needed when he went out of the house. He spent it up. Notice something that the Bible says. When he spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. He began to be in want. He went and joined himself to the citizens of that country. He sent him to his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain or gladly have filled his belly with the husk or the corn, the slop that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. He spent it up. You know, no man gave unto him because no man has nothing to give. And I want to remind you of that this morning. I don't know, whatever your joy and your happiness, and it, maybe you've got all your marbles in one little basket this morning, but I'm going to tell you something. If they're not on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to find out that it's all in vain. These people this morning passed the doors of this church headed for their fortune and their joy. But you know something? No man can give you nothing this morning. He found out. He said, that crowd I was running with that was in my car on Friday and Saturday night, he said, boy, when I had the booze, I had plenty of friends. When the booze went up, they dropped me like a rock. That's just the way this old world will do too. You'll find out who your friends are when you hit the bottom. See, money will buy friends. It will. But when your money runs out, no friends. The weed will buy friends, I know. But when the weed runs out, no friends. Long as you're feeding that liquor crowd liquor, you'll have friends. But they're fair weather friends. They just go to wherever the slop's at. Yeah. Oh, the hoggy's portion. But then, secondly, notice this, the hog's pen. The Bible said, he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, sent him to his fields to feed swine. Hogs. They're the dirtiest animal known to mankind. There's nothing no worse than a hog pen. He found himself in a hog pen. He joined himself to a citizen
And he sent him to his fields to feed swine, the hog pen. I want to say, first of all, the smell of the pen. If you've never smelt the hog pen, you've never been in the country. The smell of pen, it's awful. You know, in my business now, try not much, but there's times that if a customer's upset that I've got to go see somebody, somebody's done something wrong, and so I get to be the fireman, and I walk into some of these hog pens. Smells like Budweiser to me. Smells like vomit to me. Smell of a pen. It's terrible. I mean, you walk in them places and just smell that old hog pen. Boy, it's awful. One time me and my wife going down the road, she said, "Whoo! That stinks!" I said, "Honey, that's a hog pen. Now, a chicken house is bad. But there ain't nothing no worse than a hog pen. The smell of the pen, it's awful. Some of you this morning, oh, I'm telling you what, you're hanging around the hog pen and it's smelling bad. Sight of the pen. It, you know, I was raised on the farm and all animals had their own little domain. We had a chicken coop. Grandmama'd gather the eggs in the morning. I'd go as a little old boy, help her get the eggs in a basket and we'd get them out of the nest. We'd go out to the barn and we'd feed the mule and the horses in their own stall. We'd go out and we'd put hay out off the trailer in the field for the cows. But I hated the sight of that hog pen. Because see, Granddaddy always had the trough right out in the edge of the pen. You had to walk through the gate. Through the smell and the sight of that old pen. Then the sound of the pen. You ever heard a bunch of hogs eating in a trough? It's an awful sound. Squealing and a carrying on. You ever heard them fighting over swap? See, when these fights break out in these beer joints, that's what they're doing. They're fighting over slop. Y'all look like you need preaching in the back. Slop of the pen. Fighting over slop. I wonder if anybody ever mixed up slop. Grandmama had what she called a slop bucket. Brother David seen it. On the back porch. And you know what went in that bucket, Brother David? Just the scraps. Now this on the outline, he's just giving me all this while I pray. She put everything, Brother Jamie, in that slop bucket. Everything that folks with the right kind of appetite didn't want went in that bucket. And then when we didn't have enough, they called what they had hog shorts. We'd take that sack and we'd pour it over in that slop bucket. We'd add a little water or old spoiled milk, whatever happened, and we'd just stir it. We'd take that bucket and we would hit it on the side of that trough, and to be sure we all got it out, we'd bang it on the side of the trough to be sure they went. And you ought to watch them hogs. Oh, no sheep come to the hog trough. Oh, I never did have no problem with Granddaddy's old mule getting out trying to get to that hog trough. He stayed right over there in the barn. Why? Because we wouldn't feed his kind of food. I guarantee you, have you ever noticed this? You've never had to call no hog. I've heard a hog calling contest. But honey, when you pour the slop in the trough, you didn't have to holler for the hog because the hogs would all show up. Hallelujah. We use this. Work this, piggy. Work this.
They'd just come running.
Running. Why? Because there's pigs and they eat that slop. Sight of the pen. The smell of the pen. The sound of the pen.
Oh, I want to remind you, I've lived there in the physical world. But the reason I opened that Bible to preach to you this morning is because of this. I've been there in the spiritual world. It's no fun in the hog pen. It's an awful place to be.
We see Hoggy's portion. We see the hog's pen. But then thirdly, I want us to look at the home place.
You'll find in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 17, when he came to himself. You know, the day the Lord saved me, and when he called me to preach, I found out all of them bass club buddies wasn't my buddies. You've heard me say this before. Me and Miss Nay was at a fish fry in Carrollton. All the men gathered around the table to have our annual fish fry. And I said, "Hey, I've got something I got to tell you." I said, "Y'all know I got saved a while back." I said, "Now the Lord's called me to preach." I went to stepping back. My phone quit ringing on Friday nights for Saturday. The boys I was meeting down in Walmart was patting me on the shoulder. Now they acted like I was a leper. But I tell you what I did. I came to myself, Brother Joe. And I realized that crowd didn't love me no way.
And so now I want to talk about the home place. He came to himself. You know what he said?
"What am I doing here?" What am I doing in this set of circumstances? Let me ask you something this morning. You know how long you're going to stay in the hog pen till you get enough?
I come to find out that, boy, all that high on the hog living
would get you right in the hobby.
The home place. First of all, I want you to look what he said. He said, he came to himself and said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger." He said, "I will arise and go to my Father, and say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants." And he arose and came to his father,
the home place.
Here I find a picture in closing of alienation.
Boy, it's terrible when brother and sisters are down daddy's house and you can't get down there. That's an awful feeling.
You know, I can relate to that. I don't know about you, but we was raised out in a country, not many houses around us. And in Tennessee, it was real flat where I was at. You could round the curve for nearly a mile, and you could see daddy's house sitting way out around the curve. You could come in from town from the other direction the same way. For about a mile out there, you could see the home place. You know, I got to think about a lot of them trips I took. There's no place like home. I love going to y'all's house. I do. I love coming visiting you. Spend a lot of time at Brother Randall and Sister Karen. When I pastored a church in Alabama, they'd let me go home as far. They'd let me lay down on Nick's bed and get in and out before I had to preach that night. But you know what was the highlight? It's when I got home. It's no place like home. No place like home. The alienation of the home. Ain't it awful to be away from the home place and you can't get back to it? Boy, I remember the first time that I ever went out of a country. I told Miss Renee, I said, when this plane lands, I'm going to kiss the ground at Atlanta Hartsfield Airport. It's no place like home. And I want to say spiritually, some of you this morning, you may be way out there. You've been around the old home place, but it ain't no place like home. The alienation of the home place. Then, secondly, the assessment of the home place. The lowest position at the Father's house is higher than the highest position that the world has to offer. Look what he said. He said, why, the hired servants of my Father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. The assessment of home place. The lowest position at the Father's house is higher than the highest position the world has to offer. I would have to step way down to be the President of the United States this morning. Oh, you say, well, the pasture's greener out yonder. You better be careful. Because I'm going to tell you, the lowest position in God's kingdom is greater than the highest that this world has to offer. As the psalmist David said, he said, I tell you what, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than anything I know. I'd rather just sweep the floor. I don't know if Brother Buddy's here this morning, but I tell you one thing, it's an honor just to sweep God's floor. It's an honor just to be able to cut on God's light. It's an honor to be able to stick your key in a door and unlock God's door. It's an honor, sisters, to play God's instrument. Fellas, it's an honor to preach out of God's Bible. Fellas, it's an honor to sing God's songs. I said it's an honor. I said I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to be the President of the United States. Oh, the assessment. He said, them hired servants has got it better than I've got it. They got it better than I got it. I had the world by its tail. And I lost it. But he said something about them folks down there at Daddy's house. They got plenty to eat. Got stuff left over, what he said. Why we step on leftovers every day we get up. Y'all need some of this preaching. I said, we get up every morning and we're just stepping on leftovers. How God has blessed us so much to be in His wonderful family. The home place. It's no place like home. Oh, the assessment of the closing. The attraction. Oh, look at verse 18. Now underline this. Take this home with you because we've got to sing a song. He said, I will rise and go to my Father, and I'll say unto Him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before Thee. What are you talking about? I'm talking about the attraction. He did not say, I will arise and go back. But He said, I will arise and go. Let me tell you, when you go back to the hog pen, it's when you ain't had a belly full. But when you come to yourself and at the bottom of the barrel, the end of your rope, He said, tell what I'm going to do. I'm going to rise and go, and I ain't a coming back. I'm telling you, by the good, sweet, grace hand of God, I ain't a going back to that hog pen, Brother Don. I'm telling you what, He feeds me wonderful groceries down at Liberty Baptist Church. And boy, His worst day He feeds me, Brother Adam, is better than what this world's got to feed me. He said, I will arise and go. A lot of folks have said that. Yeah, I trust Christ. And I'll rise and come back. Let me tell you, honey, when you get under Holy Ghost salvation, and God brings you to the end of your world and you get lost, then you can get found. He said, I'll rise and go. Boy, this old flesh sometimes wants to say, go back. But the Holy Ghost lives in me. And go back. Because there's a seed that remains in you. And you can't go back to where you were. I shudder now when I go by places where I used to be. Lord, how could I go back?
because he stole my heart. And there's nobody like him. The home place. Miss Sherry, would you care? This morning I want to ask you something. The attraction. Then the affection. Look what he said. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran and fell on his neck. Some of you have been here a long time. You've heard me say what this meant. But I'll tell you what happened in this story. It was a Jewish custom. When the son left the father's house, he came back. The father had a decision to make when he got back. The son would come back right up to his doorstep, lay his head on the stone. Then it was up to the father what he could do. The father literally could took and stepped on his neck and broke it. Nothing could have been said. The Bible said when he was a great way off. Hang on, I'm fixing to run. Yeah, compassion. Yep. He's coming. Oh, I know he's coming because me and Mama got over yonder behind that tree the other night. We prayed. I know you heard that, and I know he's coming. Whoop, you know you. Oh, he's a great way off, but I sure do love him. I'm going to draw him to me. You remember what you had down Daddy's house? You remember what you seen around that table? Oh, great way off. He had compassion. Ran. Take. Where yet, sir? Come in. He ran out, miss. This is what he did. I love you, boy. I know you're coming back. Had compassion. Ran and kissed him. Maybe you need a little kissing on this morning.